Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three. On this Tuesday, and never miss an opportunity to reach out and have a visit from Michael Dickinson. And there she was, Theodora B., in the Dance Smartly on Saturday. And he's kept this mare good for an extended period. And she wins the grade two. Michael joins us. Congratulations to you and Mr. Strawbridge.
Yes, thank you very much, Steve. Great honor. Thank you for asking me to be on your show, which we all enjoy. Yes, well, it's great for Mr. and Mrs. Strawbridge because they're both really good horsemen. George rode in steeplechases himself, and he's an all-round horseman. He's a good rider. And his wife is a very successful three-day event rider. So they're great to, to talk to. And you mentioned about the longevity there. Their turf horses go home to their farm in Pennsylvania in the winter, and they turn 10 horses out in a 100-acre field altogether. So they get chance to all the aches and pains all sort of disappear, and then they come back half fit because they've been in a big field. I joke with George, there's a lot of pressure training for Augustine Stable. Because, as everyone knows, they breed good horses. So if the horses don't win, it's the trainer's fault. But actually, the pressure is not training an Augustine horse. But I like to pull his leg.
I love it. You know, this mare, who's now five, and wins wire to wire under Justin Stein, and I don't know why she was as big a price as she was, but if I'm not mistaken, that mare, Dinah Waltz, Jonathan Shepherd trained her when she came over.
Exactly, yes, he did, yes.
Went to Go Sapper with her to get Theodora, and you're all. It looks like you're only training her and that New York bred right now, Michael. Why aren't you taking on more horses?
I've just got six horses at the moment.
Six.
So I'm
okay.
Quite happy as I am. I just train for friends, and really, so I'm lucky to be in that position. I don't want 100 horses, but I wouldn't. I hate to have life without horses. And she's my friend at the moment. Very funny, two little incidents. I feed her at 4:30 in the morning and turn her out at 5 in a nice grass field and bring her in at 9. But for her first start this year, she was at Laurel, and I had to go for her at 7 o'clock. Well, horses are creatures of habit, and they're also good timekeepers. So I went for her. She said, "Yep." I couldn't catch her. She galloped past me. She says, "I'm not coming in now. I know it's not 9 o'clock." And she wanted to say it. So there was visions of her having to call up the stewards at Laurel saying, "Oh, I can't catch this filly." Because she knew it was 7 o'clock and not 9 o'clock. And eventually she'd be caught. And last week, a similar thing. She gets turned out every day, but last week we had 6 inches of rain from the hurricane. And all the fields were flooded, so I didn't want to beat them up. So I just turned her with her friend in a nice two big sand rolls. So she was there jumping and kicking and rolling and having a good time for an hour. So I went for her, took her out the sand roll. Well, she wouldn't go into the barn. She said, "Where's my paddock? I'm not just going to be fogged off with a sand roll." And I couldn't get her into the barn. She wanted to go into the paddock, so I had to lead her out. Some graze for half an hour to consent her to come back into the barn.
I love it. And on this topic, I'm happy to go in this direction with you. I mean, the people listening can understand immediately that at Tapita Farm, you've got the ability to let the horses be horses while they're in training, as opposed to just turnouts and the occasional downtime and maybe winter, as you referred, to the Augustan horses. But Jonathan, how much of a benefit would it be to the American training community to have, you know, more of a yard basis, more Fair Hills and more training center type environments as opposed to the racetrack?
Okay, well, Fairhill is a fantastic facility, and Graham Motion's there, Michael Matz, and Michael Stidham, and Michael Trombetta. They do very well. There's some good trainers at Fairhill. Yes, it's a benefit, but it's down to the cost. As a trainer, it's free stalls at the racetrack. Fairhill costs money, and so does my farm. I find it easier for me when the horses are in a stall. The confines make it difficult for them to communicate. In a field where they have more freedom to express themselves, I talk more to them. Well, they talk more to me if I'm listening.
The stall confinement, and of course, you know, one thing I'm thinking back to a conversation we had with you at Arizona, and very frequently when the Lasik's conversation comes up, I mean, one of the things that's brought up is the way in which the horses, you know, the confined space, the restricted air circulation, the fact that they have, you know, straw and hay bales stored above their heads, you know, the air and intake. I mean, there's so many benefits to having a more genteel environment in which to house them and maintain them.
Yes, I mean, that will help a lot, but bleeding has many causes. That's just one of them. I don't want to get into the Lasik's issue because it's Lasik's has taken up far more time and ink than it actually deserves. We've got lots of other problems.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'll change the subject. My wife is just this moment today finished relaying Turfway Park. She's put in a Tapeta 10 track there.
Excellent.
And two trainers went to see it yesterday, and they're absolutely delighted with it, and I think they will be. It's not open for training, I don't think, until November, but Joan's been there for 10 weeks in Kentucky.
Excellent. And in fact, on that topic, because I did want to talk to you a little bit about surfaces and what the latest is, and so I'm glad you brought up the all-new Turfway that's going to also include, you know, a gaming facility and a clubhouse grandstand, completely fresh version of Turfway. The reconstruction and the resurface, does that include a new base, Michael?
Exactly. You're on the ball as usual. Well said. Yes, it needed a new base. We've got a new base. Now, Joan has been dealing with the Churchill people, and they have been fantastic to deal with. They've been very fair, reasonable, and she's never had a problem. They've been terrific. So thank you for Churchill.
Well, obviously the winter's there, and you know, the fact that they've got to make it through, you know, some pretty extreme temperatures too. I mean, the Cincinnati. I lived in Cincinnati, and I can tell you that it's cold and nasty in the winter, and it can be, you know, very hot. And we'll see, you know, how much, if there's going to be any, you know, any reversion to what used to be the Turfway schedule. They used to have a big fall that Churchill has kind of taken over the September dates. But it's an important part of the Kentucky circuit. And so looking forward to, you know, getting Turfway up and running. Explain, Michael, because we've touched on this, and the first conversations about surface and specifically about the dangers of ignoring the base came from John Nayrud with us years ago, and he talked about fissures in the base and how that creates, you know, danger spots, soft spots on above ground, on the surface, and that's when horses get hurt and catastrophically hurt.
Yes, it's not the only problem, but everything. A chain is as strong as its weakest link. So the base has to be right, the top has to be right, and so has the maintenance. Change the subject a little bit. Joan did a track in England at Newcastle, which is the top right-hand corner of England. And at Royal Ascot, there were 13 winners in the 5 days at Royal Ascot. There's only 30 races. 13 of them had previously run at Newcastle, which is a phenomenal strike rate considering there are, what, 40 racetracks in England, and 13 of them had run at Newcastle.
That is interesting.
Yes.
We'll file that away for next April, for next June.
Well, I think Wesley Ward he'll be like a dog with two tails. He will love training his Royal Ascot horses at Turfway next year.
That's a great, great point, looking ahead to the winter. And very, very interesting. I love it. I love it. Michael, talk a little bit about what you do now with Theodora, because the mile and a quarter, that was her first time going 10 furlongs on the turf. And, you know, she's been effective on synthetic, but it does feel like turf. And as she's matured, the distance really suits her. That included even the try in the Maple Leaf last fall.
Yes. Probably 10 or 11 furlongs is her best. As you say, she's best on turf. So next race will probably go to a race at Woodbine, the Canadian, or a race at Kentucky Downs. But I've got to discuss all these with Mr. and Mrs. Strawbridge first.
Theodora B., and she's now won 5 times in 16 or 17 career starts, and this also drove her up over 300,000 in earnings, and you know, she'll certainly be a nice addition to the Augustan broodmare band. You know, given that you've had these two starters so far this year, Michael, and you've got 6 in training. Do we have young horses, or do we have some?
We've got 4 2-year-olds.
Nice.
We came out the 2-year-old in training sales, which were delayed this year, so we're a bit behind.
Give us some hints about what we're dealing with.
It's a little bit too early yet.
Okay.
And I might want to bet on them, so I can't tell you.
You're unbelievable. What? You know, it occurs to me, you mentioned the chasing side of things, and I just had Bill Gallo. We just talked about going to be the last two stakes of the jump season. Why have you not taken on any chase trainees? In fact, Mr. Strawbridge has some chasers.
Yes, he hasn't had chasers for 5 years.
Okay.
Yes. No, I think you've got to do one or the other. Mr. Shepherd did both very well. I don't know how he did it. I think you've got to concentrate on one or the other.
You're obviously part of your remarkable career and resume includes the Gold Cup achievement that won't be ever be equaled. It occurs to me to ask you what's your reaction to, and I had this conversation with Nick Luck principally last year when there was tremendous pressures being exerted notably in California, and Nick talked about Cheltenham and, you know, the critiques of the Grand National, and I'm curious, what, Michael, you probably have a perspective on how to answer critics about the, you know, the welfare side of things when it comes to the industry here and abroad being criticized.
Well, the English steeplechase horse has a longer life expectancy than most flat horses in America. So, unfortunately, some of them do get hurt in a race, but most of them race till they're 10 years old or 12 years old, and then they go on to be fox hunters and riding horses for another 10 years. So a steeplechase horse, on the whole, has a pretty good life. And they love jumping. Nearly all the horses love jumping. It's fun for them.
Take us to that 83 Gold Cup, because for those that aren't aware, Michael sent out the first five finishers in the 1983 Cheltenham Gold Cup. Could you have imagined that day to run the essentially run the table with your five entrants?
Well, we did actually. I'd planned to have the first eight home. So my wife Joan Wakefield thinks I failed because I only had five. Of course, it's a ridiculous statement to make, but to be successful, you have to be passionate, you have to be an optimist, and the Kentucky Derby, sorry, the Cheltenham Gold Cup, just for people who don't know, is the Kentucky Derby of steeplechasing, so it's a stupid thing to talk about, but yes, we had it planned, we had the first eight, and I kept giving her the call every time we got in the car. I would call the race for her. And then 1983 Cheltenham Gold Cup, and Michael Dickinson's got eight horses in the way to go. And I call it a race. And I, various phrases which I knew the race callers would use. And they used them. And Joan was listening to that, and then she burst out in tears. She says, I've heard this before.
Too funny. Yeah. I've got to also fold in since we're looking at you know your amazing life and career and the impact that you and Joan are going to have you know forever in the game's history on the surface front. What pride do you take and your thoughts about what Tappet is achieving as a stallion and the legacy he's going to write?
Oh, Tappet, yes, we're very proud of Tappet. Nobody knew how good Tappet was. Nobody. He won a Grade A Stakes as a two-year-old, and then when he was in training in Florida, we actually ran him in the Florida Derby, and down there he picked up a pretty serious lung disease. And he ran nowhere in the Kentucky Derby. Sorry, in the Florida Derby. So then we brought him back up here, and I didn't want to run him in the wood at all. But Mr. Winchell thought, well, we're better, it's a grade one, we'll give him a shot. But I thought he'd be last, because he wasn't 100% fit, but much more importantly, he wasn't 100% healthy. Mm. However, he won the wood purely on class and courage. And all he did, from the winner's circle to the spit box, was cough.
Wow.
I thought he'd be last in that race. I really did. I was dreading it. And he only won because he was very talented and very courageous, but he shouldn't have won. Normally, when we run a horse, we shouldn't run. It finishes last, and that's the way it should be. But Tappet was so good and so courageous, he won that race. But he was sick.
Amazing.
So,
amazing.
How good could he have been? Anyhow, amazing. That's that. So, well, we love him to bits. And De Hoss, Joan and Miguel went to see De Hoss last week. He's 28 years old at the Kentucky Horse Park, and he looks fantastic for his age. And he looked great.
Well, that I can remember. I remember that season, and of course, he then went to the Derby with him, of course. And you know, at that point, after winning the Wood, you had no choice. But
the Wood wiped him out.
Yeah, it set him back.
Yeah, it set him back, and he never recovered. But he won a grade one, so he got his thing at stud. So that was that. But
well,
we don't know how good he would have been.
And the thing about that, Michael, you bring up a great point. If he doesn't win that Wood, he had won the Laurel Futurity at two,
yes.
But he probably doesn't get get the chance at stud at the level that he got.
Exactly. Yes. No. It was a lucky escape.
Well, and to see all the sons that he has wrought here is unbelievable. I mean, the impact he's going to have long term is, I mean, it's mind boggling. And we're just, you know, we obviously we're seeing now, you know, the broodmare Sire, you know, statistics are going to say about him. It's really one of the most important stories of, you know, of the last 20 years. Certainly on the breeding front.
Right.
And not to mention, you know, the thing about it that's interesting too is this association that he's created with success in the Belmont Stakes. At you know, with his sons, you know, going a mile and a half.
Right, yes.
Tap it, and how long did the Winchells, did you train for Ron's dad?
I trained for his father first.
And yes.
This is the last horse his father bought before he died.
That's right.
Ron said that. He was great. I loved training for him. He was great. And Ron's good, too. But this is the last horse. So actually his father bought this with David Fisk and David Lambert.
Yep.
And then Ron took over, and Ron's done very well.
Very much. You know, not only does he have the Tappet and the sons of Tappet, but he added Gunrunner to his arsenal, and the Winchell Thoroughbred legacy well established, and a big part of it, Michael Dickinson's success, and so many parts of the game, Michael, that you've touched on, and you're not done by a long stretch, especially with 4 2-year-olds in the barn. I love Michael. This was wonderful. I never miss an opportunity to reach out to you. I appreciate it.
I've got lots of faults, but I'm not boring.
Exactly. They're well put. And of course.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much.
Talk soon.
You and keep up the good work. You do a lot of good for racing.
Very kind, Michael Dickinson, everybody, and as a himself as a rider and as a trainer, and with his wife Joan, the developing of the Tapita surface, and you can go to tapitafarm.com on that front if you're putting together a training facility for yourself or you bought one, you know, think about a Tapita training track for your horses, and Michael can help you. And I so enjoy. I get to see him at Arizona. I don't know this year. I haven't heard where things stand about the symposium, but. Whenever there's a winner that and a reason to reach out, it's a good conversation. We're going to stay right here. We got about 20 minutes to fill out this Tuesday, and David Donk is going to join us next. I told you I reached for David, and he's going to join us. He was tied up, so we flip flopped with Michael, and so we'll go to David, and you know, 3 wins on Sunday. And, you know, David Donk, one of those horsemen that just wins and wins consistently year after year. He fits that. And particularly, you know, when you come to Saratoga and you think about, the lesser known. I mean, the trainers that, you know, that win up here, you know, regularly, and, you know, particularly, you know, George Weaver comes to mind, of course. We talked to George a lot during these summers, and David too. And I wanted to give him an opportunity and, you know, a kind of a spotlight, essentially, even though he beat us. in the fourth. But I mean, how many times? We'll get the answer. We'll see, We'll see if he's won 3 times on a card up here before. Not just even just at Saratoga. It could be anywhere, downstate as well. Pretty much, I mean, I think most of the veteran horsemen have probably won, you know, twice. It's one of those. It's one of those things that you think to yourself, well, you know, they're coming in with live chances all the time. Well, you also when you have multiple entrants on a card, you get a little superstitious too. Especially, you know, if you win the first, you think, oh, can we win two? You win the second one, you know. I can tell you as an owner, when your horseman is your trainer is sending out multiple horses on a day, and if you're later on the card and they win early, you're not unhappy. You're happy for them and for the other owners, but you also think to yourself, he already won, so he's probably not going to win when we run. David Dock joins us now. Dave, am I right about that?
Yeah, you're probably right, Steve. Yeah, you've used up your lot.
Exactly. I mean, the first question is, have you won three on a card before?
I'm pretty sure I have before. Definitely not in Saratoga.
First time in Saratoga.
Yeah, we'd all know if it had that Saratoga before, but definitely not there.
I love it, and I also, even though you beat us in the fourth, I'm still happy for you. You know what's amazing? I said this to Andy. Kitten. Oh my gosh.
Sky Kitten.
I knew it started with an S. Sky Kitten. She ran ninth. We ran tenth together on opening day in that allowance race. And both came back in this 40 non-2. And it's a funny line with these horses, Dave, that are, they're kind of nibbling and they're within reach of the New York bred allowance level, or are you better off in a 40 non-2 against open company? And you know, the 70 to 74 buyers will probably win the 40, and 75 and up will win the allowance. So you're really in a kind of a danger zone. You don't know which way to go, and at least that's the way where we said coming into the season.
Yeah, I think, you know, both conditions are pretty comparable. You're right. The numbers are pretty close. So, listen, economically, you'd rather win than never win two for 40 and then come back for the state bread, you know, if it works out that way. But, you know, listen, you know, running on the grass, it's about getting the trip. You know, my horse, you know, she's been a bit of a disappointment. So I thought there was a little more than there. It was a little better effort last time. You know, and I got a great ride. Listen, I got a great ride on all of them the other day. So that's why those kids are, they're going in the Hall of Fame someday.
Well, you Manny Franco aboard here, and Manny took over and was actually on her when she broke her maiden in an off-the-turf race early in the meet last year as a two-year-old. And, you know, to some degree, you right away, after that maiden win, you thought enough of her to run in Monmouth, in the Sorority, and then in the Salima at Laurel, and then even in the Chelsea Flower as the winter was approaching before she got the season off. And really, she's been okay. And you know, people would look at this record, Dave, and they're going to say, oh, you know, she got beat 6, she got beat 12 in those allowance races. But, you know, you get fitness, and then you can see where you ping-pong back and forth between the 40 non-2.
Yeah, you know, she had some bad trips last year in a couple of races. So, you know, the last race of that was terrible. It's just something that went wrong. She wasn't right. We turned her out. I wasn't sure what to expect from her this year. But, you know, we talk about it, 2 to 3 or 3 to 4, they need to improve. And usually it's a natural progression, and they will. Maybe she's just been a little slow getting there. So it was a better race last time. I think she got a 70 buyer time before. I'm not sure what she got
yep.
today. But
74.
But 74, yeah. So, you know, that's about what those are running. And again, Manny gave her a really good ride. You know, there's a reason why those guys are doing so well and riding those good horses. So, you know, good trip, good strong rider, you know, and it makes a difference.
Well, and to show everybody how narrow the margin is here, that opening day race that Minute Mouse and Sky Kitten participated in, Pekka Tanaka won that race with a 77 buyer. And so you're talking about, the most narrow of improvement margins. And these are still, 3 and 4 year olds that are on the improve and could still, ours is a courageous cat and they keep getting better until they're mature. So this one's a Sky Mesa out of a Forest Wildcat mare. And, looking at that pedigree. It's actually interesting, Dave, that she wants a route of ground, that she isn't more effective going a little shorter.
Yeah, kind of good size filly, good scopey filly. Some of them have gone long in that family. Brimstone is out of that mare.
Okay.
And he's a router with speed, but a router. So, it's interesting you say that. I've thought about that. When she wasn't doing well, do I just need to shorten her up and maybe let her be off the pace sprinting and teach him to run? But you can't do that in Saratoga. 5.5 is a different ball game.
Yeah, it's too sharp.
So, yeah.
Well, it's so funny. I said to Gary, should we going back downstate? You got the option of that 7 furlong race at Belmont, which. Is really kind of the in between. It's short enough that you can let him rip, or long enough to close.
Yeah, no question. And again, it's how they're written, so you don't know. Being a head owner and myself as trainer, you're not sure in 2 or 3 weeks what distance is going to show up at. But
it's true.
But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, okay, could I run 3/4? Could I run 7/8? And Belmont is so unique, I even call a mile as a one-turn mile. So, yeah, a lot of options.
Well, you also, of course, ran Sterling Beauty in here, so you did have 2 shots at this. But Sky Kitten, and I think you're probably very happy, as well as owners Charlie Marquis and John Barrett, got to be happy that she came back to the barn, and we'll look for her downstate, not against us, hopefully. And then you came back, by the way, 17-1, $37. Then you come back in the 7th race and win. Factor. This is a factor colt for Joe Bucci, and here you were 9-1. You pay $19.60, and that was a thriller.
Yeah, really interesting horse, Steve. Came out of Florida. Was still a maiden, so we only have 2 options in New York. He was getting beat for 20 down there, so. My first impression was, is he going to be good enough to compete in New York? You only have 2 options. It's maiden special weight or a maiden 40. Once in a while, there's one in the middle of 75. But, it's your maiden claiming 40 or special weight. I ran him for 40. I had an issue with him in the morning. He was getting out pretty bad, just galloping. So I put an extension blinker on him when I breathed him just to make sure everybody was going to be safe, and he was safe to ride, and I breezed him in it, and he went well in it. So I'm like, okay, we'll do that. And I really couldn't get anybody, didn't have anybody lined up to ride him, so I used the Bug Boy on him, and trying to find out a little bit about the horse. Had a brutal trip. Broke slow. God, Louis clipped heels a couple of times. Thank God he didn't get hurt. But runs well, gets beat, what is he, third, beating a length and a half or something. I'm like, okay, well. He belongs here, so Jose asked to ride him, and it was kind of a no-brainer to put him on him. He obviously wow. wins for maiden 40, and after that, the next progression is it never win 2 for 40 or starter allowance, and the starter came up, so I ran him in a starter allowance early in Saratoga. I thought he'd run well there, saying that he did run a really good race. I thought Jose thought he improved, and I was kind of in a spot, where do I go next after the starter? So there was a never win 3 for 50 next week, but I was a little concerned it might not fill. And so I, knowing the allowance race, probably wasn't going to get a lot of horses. I went in the allowance race.
Unbelievable.
Jose had a call with Shug. But Shug did not go in the race, so it turned out he was available, so he got to ride him back. again, you know, all the horses that are in the other day, if you'd asked me, I would have said, you know, listen, I think they got a chance to hit the board. But I don't know if any of them could win. But, you know, he's running against a really nice horse at Chad's and the horse of Al Stahl's, and had run a really big number when he broke his maiden. You know, just so I don't know how good this horse is. And that's what I told Jose in the paddock. I don't know how good he is. We'll find out. But I'm saying that. I watched a replay last night. It was a pretty impressive race.
Unbelievable.
He's really on the improve. He's the horse, I said to Joe, it's like when you get a young three-year-old and they improve. You know, he's four, but it looks like he's just kind of figuring it out. That's what he wants to do. And I was impressed that he had as big a turn of foot as he did the other day. So,
well,
same thing. Got a great trip and a great ride by Jose.
Well, and here you win, you know, you won, obviously, in our race a little bit less than a length. I mean, you were surging. And this gets down to a neck, and as I mentioned, 9-1, three straight wins. This was a horse that Herbie Miller dangled for 16,000 at Gulfstream. He was down to 16,000 after running. He ran for maiden 20 and 25 five times with, and had a lot of seconds and thirds, and no one thought to take him. And then maiden 16, as late as April, now has won a maiden 40, a starter allowance, and an open allowance.
Yeah. Caught all of us by surprise. So lovely horse to be around, easy to train. You know, again, I think he's just figuring it out.
Unbelievable.
Before the race, I said I'm not sure how good he is. I'll say that after the race. I'm not sure how good he is.
Well, speaking of horses that we do know how good they are, and the 8-year-old JC's Shooting Star completes the troika, three wins on a day, and not a favorite in sight. 17-1, 9-1, 10-1. Here's a $22 winner for JC's Shooting Star, his 55th career start, the 8-year-old, his 8th career win.
Yeah, a really cool mare. You know, obviously her best races are behind her. I've had her since a 2-year-old. Kind of, we've been all over the map with her. She's run short, long, turf, dirt. You know, but a really honest mare. You know, I don't know if that put her over 750,000 the other day, something like that. So, had a lovely career. She did win a stake at 3. You know, the other day, same thing. You know, it took us too long to realize probably her best game is to be an off-the-pace sprinter, and that's turf or dirt, because she's run well on the grass, too. So, but obviously, this is a little lesser company than what she's really run with. So, her last race was the same condition, but again, that was 5.5 on the grass, and just a little too short for her. So, you know, same thing there with Jose. I just said, listen, I don't know. It looks like there's speed on paper, but you know how that is when you're handicapping. I thought there was a lot of speed in winning Factor's race, and he would be farther off the pace, but most of them didn't show up. And same with there with her race. There's a lot of speed on paper. Just let her be, and she's going to make one run, and if you get there, you get there. Listen, another great ride by Jose. So nice to get her back to the winner's circle for the client.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned, just on the client front, this is Shooting Star Stable, and so three different owners. You know, a lot of times the horsemen will have, if you have multiple entries, it'll be, you know, with common owners, but three different sets of your owners go home happy on Sunday.
Yeah, listen, you know, I would say, people talk about winning in Saratoga, and I said, well, the first agenda is to be able to run in Saratoga. So,
yep.
You know, but to win in Saratoga, obviously, is always special for everyone. It's very happy for the clients. It certainly made three of them quite happy.
Got to ask you what's coming up this week, and you know, we're on the back half now. I mean, it for all the issues that we've had, the summer's gone quickly.
Yeah, the older we get, it always does.
I guess that's true.
listen, I run a bunch. even before this. Listen, I've got a lot of horses beat. I had a lot of good seconds a couple weeks ago. A lot of horses that had run well. I've got a bunch to run. I'm kind of in the same boat. See, I can't say that anything can really win, but some of them will run well. Bet at your own risk. So.
Let me ask you, I usually focus in, because you've got a lot of veterans, but I want to focus in on the unraced horse this week, the Golden Door. And this is a point of entry who is getting winners and getting different kinds of progeny. This is Alifi Racing?
Alifi Fife.
I see what they did.
Elliot's originally from Scotland, been in the country a long time. I've had horses for him for a number of years. This horse is interesting. This horse can run a little bit. Came to me this spring, but I've had a lot of feet issues with this horse. So that's why you'll see the spacing in his workouts. So I've had a number of works here in succession. He's trained well on the dirt, but I think the grass moves him up, like point of entry. And I think it would be ideally kinder on him. So, listen, he's 80% ready, but he can run a little bit. 5.5 is probably too short, but I'd like to get a race into him, and then I can either stretch him out. I don't know if I'd stretch him out in Saratoga, or, again, we get back to Belmont where we have that 7/8 or a mile, mile and 16th kind of, which is almost one turn on the grass, but. He can run a little bit, but there's a couple of horses in there with pretty good numbers, so he's going to have to if we ever thought about winning it.
He's out of a hard-spun mare, Stormy Perrin, and was a $90,000 OBS purchase. Niall Brennan developed this one, had been a $55,000 Saratoga, New York sale yearling last year. It probably a kind of a scopy, kind of growing thing, given point of entry and what he gets.
Yeah, he's a pretty good-sized colt.
Yeah.
Should be a gelding. He will be at some point, probably this winter. He's a big, strong colt, Steve. So, if you look at him, I can tell you if Maggie's looking at him right now in the paddock, it's not going to suit probably us at 5.5. But he can run a little bit. So
nice.
He worked well. He's had good work. So it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if he won. But again, there's a couple of horses in there that have run quite well that are knocking on the door. So always an advantage to the experienced horses.
And then you got a big day. I guess you got a chance. You got a chance to win three again on that race, by the way, is Friday. On Thursday, you run... you've got 4th, 6th, and 8th. You got a maiden claimer, disciplinarian, and running back. And in the 6th, No More Miracles and Future Book. And then in the 8th, Merlin's Muse and Elegant Zip. I haven't looked ahead, so is there any MTO-type things in there?
No MTOs. They're all running. So,
okay.
They're two races around the grass. One disciplinarian, he'll run well there, obviously. It's not a very good bunch, and he kind of matches up with those. Next race is a dirt race, I believe, so a couple horses. I guess they're all grass.
All turf,
I topped the other horse back on the grass. So, listen, I had one or two for the races. Let's be honest, the races have been a little difficult to fill, so I've got some to run. I'm not afraid to run, so I'm gonna lead a couple over there. And I say at the end of the day, you can get me on a podium, but it's about economics. And as an owner, even if I'm second and third, it's a big deal to my bottom line and the client's bottom line. So I'm not afraid to run. I'm not afraid to get beat.
David Donk, everybody, honk for Donk, and one of my favorite David Donk memories is being at Saratoga in 1995 and getting a wad to win the Arlington Million. That I'm sure it was better for you than it was for me, but I enjoyed it immensely.
I probably enjoyed it a little more than you did.
I remember we were in the carousel, me and my buddy Phil, and We walked, and that was back when there would be like maybe one simulcast race. It would be the special in the book, and the million, you know, the million was the special. And I said, let's bet on this. And what did we get? Did we get 7-1?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Yeah, about that. It was a big price in the Secretariat. Secretariat, you paid like $40 as a 3-year-old. But yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Well, it may go down in history as one of the, you know, one of the great million winners. We don't know how many more there's going to be, but there's going to be more winners for David Donk at Saratoga yet. David, well done.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you very much for having me on.
Not at all. David Donk, everybody, and had to congratulate and walk through a pretty magical day. And it was 6-1. 6-1 on a watt. I knew it was in that range. Eddie Maple. And that was okay. Beat Sandpit and the vid. That was great. Curie's Clown in there, too, that day. Who else? Tinner's Way. Wow. With Eddie D. I knew this was going to be a fun morning, and it really was. Kenny McPeak and Michael Dickinson, the mad genius, David Donk, and you know, David's got a funny. He kind of hides. He hides on Twitter. It's Equine. And I'll find it. Good luck today, everybody. I'll talk to you in the morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing 2-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers.